I'm Allison Kaskowski, otherwise known as the Allison K. I'm a fitness innovator and entrepreneur turned business mentor and retreat master. A client experience is more than just making the sale or the transaction. A client experience is about how it's put together so that clients can receive amazing real transformation. Here you'll hear all about how the industry leaders are creating amazing experiences. I'm always going to give it to you straight because I know your time is valuable. Are you ready? Let's get into the show.
Hey, everybody, it's Allison Kaskowski. Thanks for joining me again this week for another edition of Creating the World's Best Client Experience. This is the business edition of our very successful Tuesday show, The Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. And you know, here, it's really all about business and the client experience. And so what, and if you know, if you've been listening, then you know I usually go one of two ways here. It's we always want to talk about a customer experience through the lens of how to massively enhance value. But on the other hand, we also want to be highlighting the transformation that we help our clients actually get. But today I'm going to pull back the curtain a little bit and tell you a little bit about our latest retreat experience. I just returned from Italy last week. We ran our last destination retreat for 2025. This was our first big international trip. You know, we've been doing retreats here for a while. We've done several in the United States. We've done several in the Caribbean. But this was the first expansion into Europe for me and for CU Fitness and the Allison K Agency. And we have many more plans to do more of these in the future. So I always, you know, in the past, when we do a retreat, I always want to share with you, you know, a little bit about the process, you know, what, you know, how we did it, how we put things together, why I made the decisions that I made, and a little bit about what, how it actually went. Because I think we can talk a lot about what we want, what the way we see something going, but then we never really hear how it actually went. And I always appreciate when other business owners do this and they're just very open and transparent and say, this is what happened. This is what I learned. And I always want to be that voice for you. So know that if you are a retreat leader or you're thinking about retreats, you want to do retreats, maybe you're already doing them, but you want to get better at them, then this is definitely an episode that you will want to listen to. And I would actually love your feedback and your thoughts on if any of what I'm going to share today really lands and resonates with you in a unique way. That's, you know, part of how we learn, right? I personally always get more out of listening to what other people talk about from the perspective of what did they wish they had done different versus what went really well. To me, that is always more of a light bulb moment because I don't know about you, but I always learn more from my mistakes than I do than from what goes really well. I mean, there's nothing, I think we can always learn from what goes really well. Obviously, we figure out what works and we want to keep repeating it. But I think what's really more important in today's world is that we be open and honest and transparent about what actually happens and what do we actually learn from it. And so that's the angle I kind of want to go with today. So our Italy experience, La Dolce Vita in Movimento, which is, if you know, is the Italian philosophy on living, La Dolce Vita, the sweet life. And we added the in Movimento because we wanted it to be, or I wanted it to be, in action. Like I wanted everyone to walk away with their own interpretation of La Dolce Vita for themselves, for when they got home. Now, I did this retreat. I had a colleague help me with this retreat. She lives in Italy. Shout out to Andrea Caprio, my Italian sister. She was a guest on my show a couple of years ago, and we hit it off, and we've collaborated on other things and promoted and shared each other's work with our audience. And I know since Andrea lives over there and speaks some Italian, that she would be the perfect person to talk with about this. And so together, we sort of created the program for this retreat. So I want to make sure that I give her plenty of credit and plenty of airtime here. We actually recorded a couple of episodes earlier this year, the two of us, where you could actually hear from us on what our plans were, what we were going to do, you know, kind of what our vision was. And we did that very intentionally. One is we, you know, I always think that if you can listen to somebody talk about something, I think it really gives you an insight into who they are and how they operate. And as a business owner, I'm always very mindful of that because like it or not, in 2025, people are always watching you. You might not like that. And it might make you feel a little strange. You know, it might give you the heebie-jeebies a little bit, right? But the reality is people are always watching us. They're following our copy. They're following our socials. Even if they're not opening all of your emails, trust me, they are still watching you. And so what I always want to do is be very transparent with you on how I do things, because to me, it's like I said, that's not only helpful for me to sort of see a little bit behind the curtain, but also because I want you to have that experience with me. I appreciate it with somebody else. And so I always want to reciprocate in that way. So today, what I want to do is sort of unpack this experience with you. I'm going to approach it from a couple of different angles. One is, I'm going to give you a little bit of an overview of what we did and, you know, what it looked like and, you know, a little bit about the logistics. And then I also want to share with you what I observed and learned about all of our participants. And also, in true Allison K fashion, I always want to give you my own takeaways, like my takeaways as a retreat leader. What did I bring home with me? What did I learn about myself? And what would I like to do different? Because I think that's an incredibly important part of the process. If you're leading retreats, you should allow yourself to be in a position to go through the transformation just like you want your people to. So let's unpack right from the beginning. So this experience was earlier in October. The dates were October the 17th through the 23rd. If you've been to the Amalfi Coast, you know it is an absolutely stunningly beautiful area of southern Italy. The pictures literally just do not do it justice. It is an incredible community, if you will, of several villages. And it's all along the southern. If you're looking at the picture of Italy on a map, you know it's shaped like a boot. If you look on the eastern side of the boot toward the south is where the Amalfi Coast is. It's just before you actually get to the shoe part of the boot, if that makes sense. And there are several villages that make up the Amalfi Coast. There's the village of Amalfi, there's Priano, there's Positano, there's Sorrento, there's Ravello, and then there's, you know, Civello. There's like plenty of villages that make up this area. And unless you plan to go for several days or several weeks, it's really impossible to see everything. And I knew that going into this experience. I knew that I was going to need an expert set of eyes on geography to help me navigate exactly what I wanted to get out of this experience. Now, a little bit of backstory here. I recorded an episode about this earlier this year. You know, I spent a summer studying in Italy when I was a college student. It was the summer of 1988 when I was a student at Meredith College here in Raleigh, which is incidentally where I'm part of the faculty and where I have been for the last 28 years. And they had an amazing study abroad that summer, and Italy was one of the locations. And we spent time, of course, we spent a lot of time in Rome and Florence, and we went to the northern part of Italy. We went to Venice and Milan, and we spent some time in the Naples area, and we spent a little bit of time in the Amalfi area. We did a day trip over to the island of Capri, but we did not spend a lot of time in that area. And I knew then that I wanted to go back. I knew it. And I figured at some point as an adult, I would. And I figured I would go on a vacation, perhaps maybe with, you know, my husband at the time or my, you know, friends or whatever. I don't think we really know what that's going to look like. We just know that at some point we're going to come back. And I told myself that. I distinctly remember sitting on the plane, getting ready to fly home, telling myself, I'm going to come back someday. You know, I didn't really know what it looked like, what I was going to be doing, much less fast forward to now. And that this is actually part of what I do in my business now, is that I get to take people to amazing places and give them amazing experiences. So it's a little bit, you know, it's just a really full circle moment for me as a business owner, but also me personally. And, you know, I just feel like for you listening out there, if there's a place that's been on your mind and your heart for a very long time that you've always wanted to go to, maybe it's a place you visited as, you know, in your younger years, or maybe it's a place that you visited like me as a student, and you know, you knew at some point you wanted to go back. I just want to tell you, never stop believing that you can, okay? Because this experience never would have happened had I given up on that, okay? And it was a long time in the making. It was more than 30 years ago when I went. And a lot of people would probably mail it in and say, whatever, you know, it just might not work out. But it's always been in the back of my mind. Here's the thing. You know, when we get ideas about where we want to go and experiences we want to have, I really believe they stay with us. And, you know, sometimes we don't really know when or how or what it can look like. But the point is you want to really keep entertaining that thought, because you just never really know how it could work out for you. So that being said, I decided last year when I was planning out my retreat calendar for this year that Italy was going to be on the map somewhere. I didn't know what time of year. And of course, the first phone call I made was to Andrea. And we got on a call and we talked about it. And she said, I would advise you not to go in the summer, particularly in August. August is a very big month that Europeans take holidays. Everywhere is very crowded, you know. And so we settled on October. So we set the dates. And then the next thing that I needed help with was how can we best spend this time? So I'm just going to walk you through the itinerary of what we did. We flew to get to the Amalfi Coast. There's no airport there. So you've got a couple of options. You can fly in, obviously, a couple of different places in Italy and then work out transportation from there. The closest international airport is Naples, which is about an hour and a half north. And it's an old military base airport. It's very old and very dated. It's not as modernized as a lot of airports in the U.S. Nothing wrong with that. I'm just being very transparent and telling you that. And so for me, I flew from Raleigh-Durham, where I live, to Philadelphia, nonstop to Naples. And then I arrived a day or two early, like I always do for my retreats, just to make sure that everybody arrives, that everything is the way it should be. And Andrea flew in from the north part of Italy, where she lives, to meet me. We stayed together in Naples that first night, which was Thursday night, October the 16th. And we met our people on Friday the 17th when everyone arrived. And I hired a private driver to take us down to the Amalfi area because it's a substantial hike. And, you know, renting a car and driving in that part of the country can be quite treacherous if you're not used to driving on roads that are literally on the side of cliffs. So, and I knew that I didn't want to do that. I just didn't want to expend my bandwidth on that. So we got down to Amalfi. We chose the Hotel Margarita, which was absolutely outstanding. If you would like information on the Hotel Margarita, please check it out online, or I'm happy for you to reach out to me and I will give you my thoughts. But it's in Praiano, which is one of the villages on the Amalfi coast. And so we chose to make that our home base. And I chose the Hotel Margarita because it met all of my criteria. It was a locally owned, smaller, private place. I was not interested in a big resort, because I think that can take away from the experience a little bit, in my view. And for this experience, I wanted it to be very authentically Italian. So we stayed at Hotel Margarita. It had a beautiful rooftop bar and small restaurant, which I thought would be great for some of the attendees during their free time. The rooms were beautiful. That also had a very small workout area / gym. I think it's a little bit of a stretch to call it a gym. It was basically an outside section with AstroTurf and some machines and everything. So not much, but enough that people could use it if they wanted to. But more importantly, it was connected to it. It was centrally located so that we could access transportation to get to the places where we wanted to go. The management there were wonderful. They worked with us. They helped me, you know, reserve the block of rooms. And we talked openly about, like, you know, what could we include. They fixed a beautiful breakfast for us every morning. It was just a lovely, lovely place to make our home base. So we arrived on the 17th. The first day we did a boat tour. We hired a private driver, a private captain, and we took a nice little cruise along the Amalfi coast. We actually got to get off and spend some time in Positano and in the village of Amalfi, which, unbeknownst to me, I thought we were going to have stops in several places, but those were the two stops. And so instead, what we were able to do is the night before, Andrea found a deli where we were able to get some picnic food, and we took that on the boat with us. So we were actually able to make lunch on the boat, which was great. That's what we wanted. We wanted it to be a small, more intimate experience. So we did that rather than trying to fight lunch at a restaurant, which in some parts of the Amalfi Coast is just very touristy and busy. So just word to the wise to those of you listening that have this on your list of places to go, I would really recommend that you do your research on, you know, what are the best times to go to places that maybe aren't super busy, right? So we did that. We had some thought-provoking questions that I encouraged people to answer and think about while we were on the boat. But as we went through the afternoon, it was really apparent to me that this was really more of a day for people just to take in the sights. And so I made the decision to kind of back off of my plan a little bit because I wanted people to really absorb and take in the energy and the surroundings and just the feeling of what the Amalfi Coast is. So we spent the whole day on the boat. We got back to the hotel late afternoon. And instead of having dinner together as a group, I elected for everyone to have the night off because everyone was tired. And you know, travel sometimes can be very brutal, very exhausting. And so I just made the decision that we would have that night free. Now, the night before, when we had arrived, we had had some drinks and some appetizers on the rooftop deck and just kind of talked about what our intentions were for the trip. I always do that on the first night of all my retreats. It's really more of a meet and greet. This is what I'm looking for. You know, I want everyone to have a chance to chat and relax a little bit from travel. So anyway, Saturday, we did the boat tour. Sunday, we went to Pompeii. What I really had in mind, this was a day when I had to make a couple of pivots. And I'm going to have more thoughts on this in my own personal takeaways at the end of the episode, but I'm just going to walk you through kind of how the day went. We were picked up at our hotel. We went to Pompeii, which if you have not been to Pompeii and visited it, I highly recommend that you do. It is absolutely incredible what archaeologists and people have been able to do to really restore and excavate that whole area. If you are familiar with history, you know that Mount Vesuvius erupted thousands of years ago and buried the whole city. And so when I went as a college student in 1988, there was only we didn't get to see but a small part of Pompeii. And there's a lot more that's open now to the public, a lot more areas that are open and visible. So I chose again to go with a private guide because I wanted our group to be together. I didn't want to be part of a giant group where you couldn't hear what the guide was saying and ask questions. So I was introduced to the guide that we used by someone who helped me plan a lot of the geography, like where we would go on what day. And this was a guy who lived in Sorrento, who actually led our pizza school, which I'll talk about in just a minute. So we had a private guide for Pompeii. It was absolutely fantastic. My initial thought was that we would do my signature compass walk exercise in Pompeii because of its significance to history. I thought it would be a great place to look at the past, examine, you know, what's brought you here, which is a lot of what I do on my retreats. It's looking at what brought you here, what's going to get you to the future that you want. That's why I use a compass a lot in my branding, because a compass is about what direction you're headed, right? You may think about all the times that you use a compass or navigation in your car, for example. It's always about giving you assistance on where you're going to go next. But again, when we got to Pompeii, it was very crowded. We had a little snafu with the tickets, which, if I'm being perfectly honest, I lost my cool for about 5 minutes in front of the group, which wasn't my proudest moment. But because I'm transparent and I'm open and I'm honest, I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. I had the person who helped me, you know, put together the trip, guide me through the ticket process, which overseas, when you don't speak the language, can be really frustrating. And so what ended up happening was that I bought the tickets for the wrong day, which, you know, wasn't really what was on my bingo card for that day. So we show up at Pompeii and we can't get in because I bought the wrong tickets. So obviously, I'm not very happy about that. Most of the time in the United States, I prepay for all of these things so that we don't run into this kind of problem. That way, there are no surprises, but mistakes happen. But I was not really happy about it. And I lost my cool for about 5 minutes in front of the group, which, like I said, was not my proudest moment. I, you know, pretty much begged the security guard at Pompeii to honor my tickets anyway, but he would not have any part of it. So I had to purchase new tickets, which I was not happy about. But after I sort of got out, you know, what I was mad about, you know, I moved forward and said, you know what, mistakes happen. We're going to move forward with the day. I didn't want to take away from the day for the group. So we did that. But like I said, it was probably not a moment that I handled with as much grace as I would have liked. So, but that was a lesson for me. But I think there was a part of me, and I'll talk a little bit more about this in a little bit, that was, you know, I really wanted this experience to be amazing for everyone there. I wanted it to be not only a great experience for me, but I wanted it to be a great experience for the group because, you know, people had chosen to leave their homes to invest a significant amount of money to travel with me, and I wanted it to be 100% worth their while. So I think as a retreat leader, there's always a part of us that's worried that maybe something won't go according to plan. And the last thing that I ever want for anyone going on retreat with me is that they don't get what that they, for whatever reason, don't get what they need. And so for me, that's always front of mind. So when I have an experience like buying the wrong tickets and having to repurchase tickets. And, you know, for me, it's always about, it's just not a good look as a business owner, right? But like I said, mistakes happen. None of us are perfect. And, you know, so I just had to repurchase the tickets. So anyway, once we did that, we did the tour. We actually had lunch at a beautiful winery not too far from Pompeii that was outstanding. It was three courses with different wines to go with it. We all got to chat and it was a gorgeous afternoon. It was really a perfect end of the afternoon. And so we returned to the hotel and we were, of course, all tired. So I gave everyone the night off again. Now, Monday, which is day three, we had initially planned to have some sessions at our hotel, you know, sessions on, you know, group sessions. But my sense was after a couple of days, people wanted some time to explore. And one of the things that I always do on my retreats is give people free time to do just that. And you couldn't be in Italy and not have that. So I made the decision to scrap Monday and give people the day off. And most people went and did different things. A couple of the gals took the ferry over to Capri. We had a couple on this trip who chose to go into the town of Priano, have some lunch, and then enjoy the pool at the hotel. I mean, I worked for a couple of hours that morning, returning messages and, you know, writing, you know, returning some things to my assistant. And then I hopped on the local bus and went down to the village of Amalfi, which was an area that I had never really spent any time in. So all in all, it was a great exploratory day for all of us. And then we met that night to have dinner as a group. And one of the things that I always like to do every day in some form or fashion on my retreats is, you know, ask, you know, probing questions like, what's been your takeaway so far? What's been your favorite activity? And here's why I do that. You're probably thinking, well, that's not really anything big. But here's the thing. We get so used to moving quickly with our lives, you know, going through the day, going through the motions, getting everything done, that we literally don't have time to enjoy what we're doing. You know, we don't have any time to process what our thoughts are about it. And part of this experience in living the La Dolce Vita lifestyle is to do just that. It's to be intentional about what you're doing and what are you taking away and how is this going to impact you going forward? And can you just enjoy the moment, right? So I wanted to make sure that our dinner together Monday night was that. So we went around the table and we shared our takeaways. What's been your favorite? What did you not like? And then at that moment, I decided to make a change for Tuesday's program. We initially had plans to go to both Positano and Sorrento. And then Tuesday night is going to be our pizza class. But since we had visited Positano already on the boat tour and had 2 hours to spend in town, I made the decision not to do that part of Tuesday. My thought was, is that I didn't want us to have an hour or so in one place and an hour or so in the other place and not feel like we really had an experience in either one. There were some people in the group that weren't very happy about that. You know, I think there were people that had their hearts set on, you know, going to Positano and spending some time there. But my thought was, is that I wanted this to be a very rich, valuable experience for the group. And that was always my thought was, what is going to be best for the group? And so Andrea and I talked about it, and we decided that we were going to instead do a small group session at the hotel that morning where we could, you know, touch base on some of the retreat things that we were actually going to be teaching, you know, rather than spending all of our time on vans and taking transportation to go places. You know, one of my big rules of thumb when I do retreats is less is always more. And when you start trying to pack too much in, you don't really get the full experience. So I wanted to make sure that we had a lot of open time so that people could get what they needed. So we made the decision to only go to Sorrento that Tuesday. And then the weather didn't look like it was really going to cooperate. The weather looked like it was, that's always a chance you take when you do stuff outside. You always have to have a plan B. So I'm thrilled to announce that I'm partnering with a brand new product, and it's called Celevate. This is an amazing, tasty, gummy supplement, and it comes in two varieties. One designed to help you with inflammation and recovery, perfect for after a workout, or if you've had like several days in a row where you've really pushed it and you're really starting to feel it in your body, this is the perfect addition to a regular routine. The other formula helps address focus and memory, which, let's be honest, I think we can all use a little help there, right? What's different about Cellevate is that not only does it taste great, but it has amazing antioxidant power. So many vitamins and supplements on the market today, you either have to take several in a single day to even see any kind of tangible result, or most of the time, a lot of them don't even give you the result that they promise. And Cellevate checks both boxes. I take one of each formula every day, and what's more is that they pack and travel really well. So you can take some and put them in a Ziploc bag and throw it in your bag when you're going out of town, and they won't melt. And it just is the perfect addition to whatever it is that you're doing every day in the way of vitamins and supplements and whatever else works for you. So I knew that I had to get in here and at least tell you about it. I would love it if you would head over to their site and give it a try. I'm actually going to offer you a really special deal. You can find this amazing product at their website, and that's spelled Cellevate.com, which is Cellevate.com. And use my special promo code, the Allison K 2024, and you can save 15% off. I would love to know what you think once you have a chance to try this. So we made the decision to have a little bit later start on Tuesday and went to Sorrento instead. We had 2 or 3 hours to spend in town, which was great. The rain stopped by the time we got to Sorrento. We walked around. We, you know, had some free time, and then we met back together as a group to do our pizza class, which was absolutely fantastic. I give it an A+. If you go somewhere that is culturally known for their food, do something that will allow you to experience that. We got to, you know, not only make pizza and eat it together as a group, but we had a limoncello tasting. We got to tour a garden that is part of this operation where we got to see the lemon trees and the herbs and all the things that they use in making the pizzas. And so it was really, really a really fun experience as a group. So it was a really perfect way to end the day. And then Wednesday, which was our last full day, we went to Ravello, which is a mountain village. It's up one of the mountains. And of course, it was raining pretty hard on Wednesday, which concerned me for a few minutes because I thought if the rain really gets torrential here, we may have to come up with a plan B. But I stuck with the plan A for this day. I felt like I had made a lot of pivots. And as a retreat leader, you just have to be willing to do that. You have to be willing to look and read the tea leaves and think what's going to be the best thing for the group in general so that people feel like they're getting what they need. So anyway, we went on up to Ravello. It rained the whole way up. It rained not long after we got there. And then about 30 minutes after we arrived, the rain stopped. So we were able to walk around. Ravello has gorgeous gardens. You know, beautiful villas that since because of its location, the scenery is absolutely outstanding. So we got to do a lot of that. And then we returned back to our hotel and we had our last dinner together that night at the hotel on the rooftop terrace. And one of the things I always do at all Allison K retreats on the last night is we do what I call a one-on-one exercise, which is an opportunity to share what you've learned about people there and what you've learned about yourself. So we did that as a group. We had a 3-course meal and we shared all of our takeaways and it was just a lovely way to end the experience. And then the next day we were picked up and taken back to Naples. And then some people flew that day and some people stayed an additional night. I stayed an additional night because my flight didn't leave until Friday morning at the crack of dawn. But we got back to Naples and guess what? There was a taxi strike throughout the entire city. And what made that challenging was that I, for a minute, didn't know how I was going to get to my hotel. I really thought for a minute I was going to be sleeping in the airport. And I want you to picture this. I've got my big suitcase, my carry-on, and my neck pillow. And my Italian is very rusty. I can probably say a couple of phrases. And I'm thinking I'm going to have to sleep in a corner in the airport, which, quite frankly, isn't really fantastic, if I'm being honest. I knew that I had a long day of flying on Friday, and I wanted to sleep in a bed. But, you know, after getting upset and frustrated for a few minutes, evidently this happens a couple times a month in Italy, you know, you have to be resourceful. You have to start thinking out of the box, what is going to work? And so I, you know, tried to get on the phone and call my hotel. I thought, well, maybe they had a shuttle. I was really hesitant to take the bus because I really didn't know where I was going to end up, you know? So, and then within 15 minutes, there was a gentleman that appeared who was a private driver for some other people who gave me a ride to my hotel. I called him my Good Samaritan. He was fantastic. And so my takeaway from all that was, is that you just never know when somebody's going to be able and willing to help you, but you have to be open to receive it, right? And so what I want to talk about for just a few minutes before I get to my takeaways is basically in general what I observed and learned from the group, just from this experience in general. And what I can tell you is that there are always going to be people that don't really like what you say and what you do. And I think you just have to let them be where they are. One of my mantras, every retreat that I do, let everyone have their own experience. I think this is super important. And, you know, I've had, you know, people question me on that before. Well, why don't you say something? Why don't you confront somebody? And my thought is that it's not my place to tell you what to think. It's not my place to tell you to clean up your act. It is my place to ensure that everyone has a good experience. And that means that you have to think about what's good for the group in general. And as a retreat leader, there are always going to be people that, you know, push back a little bit, that maybe don't like what you say and do, don't like some of the decisions that you make, don't like how you operate and how you roll. And so, you know, I try to stay as far away from that as I possibly can. My philosophy is what you give energy to will grow. And rather than make a big federal production out of it, what I choose to do is focus on how I'm going to make this better for the group. How am I going to make this a good experience for the group? And so that's what I always want to keep my eye focused on. As a retreat leader, that is your responsibility. But what I observed about this group was there were a couple things. One is every single person who came had never been on a retreat with me before, which I thought was incredibly interesting. I usually have at least two or three people that have been on a retreat with me before, but for whatever reason, for this trip, it just didn't work for a lot of people that usually travel with me. So it was a real unique opportunity to experience something with brand new people, which, if I'm being honest, is always the goal. If you do retreats, the goal is you always want to be expanding your audience. The next thing is that this group was very diverse. I had an older couple who, one gal was very movement challenged. She traveled with a roller walker. It was a very lightweight one. And I give her props. She was a real trooper, just didn't want to miss anything, wanted to be a part of everything, just was all in. And I love that energy. And her husband was just as nice as he could be. And then we had two gals who were friends that traveled together that were younger, that were both, you know, into fitness and movement and walking around. And they sort of had their own agenda about how they wanted to spend their free time. And then there was Andrea and me, who we sort of had our own ideas as leaders and as participants too, because I always try to participate in my own experience about, you know, what we wanted, but also what we wanted to provide for the group. So there was a lot of dynamics going on, is my point. And what I learned from all that is that everybody was able to learn something from each other. Everybody was. And, you know, I really think sometimes on retreats, people don't want to open up and share. You know, they're very guarded, which is totally fine. But like I said, I want everyone to have their own experience. I don't force anybody to do anything. I don't force anybody to show up if they don't want to show up. You know, I provide the container and I say, here's what we're doing and here's why we're doing it. And if people choose to participate, great. And if they don't, that's unfortunate, but that's their decision. And so, you know, people come to retreats for different reasons. They come to be inspired in different ways. They come to give themselves something different. We don't really know exactly where people are when they come. We know why they buy. Hopefully, you know why your people buy. I hope you ask them, why did you sign up? I knew why people bought. People told me that. Every single person that bought told me why they wanted to come. But you just never know where people are when they arrive. You don't know what they're really managing, what they're dealing with, where they are emotionally, where they are in terms of, you know, how they're feeling. Travel brings up a lot of things for people. And so on this trip, because it was such a big trip and because it was such a distance and because it was Europe and, you know, there were lots of things that we were going to be doing, I knew that the potential was there for something like this to happen. I knew it. And instead of really making that the focus, what I wanted to make the focus was the experience. This is how we're going to do it. And this is what I hope you'll take away. And this is one of the reasons why I was a little bit more intentional about the questions that I was asking people and how we were having our conversations. Every single day, I probably asked everybody at least once, what's been your favorite thing so far? Because people create their own experiences too, right? And as leaders, we want to hold the container and hold the space so that they can actually do that. Some people come for one reason and they leave with something completely different. And that was the case with just about all the people that came. You know, there were people, you know, one gal who was, you know, struggling with, you know, making some decisions about her home life. There was another gal whose children were getting older and she was trying to figure out in her mind, you know, what she wanted to do. And you know, my older couple had never been to Amalfi. They wanted to experience it together. So there's just, you know, everyone sort of had a different goal in mind, but everybody walked away with something that they created themselves. And that's always my hope and my goal as a leader. And that was one of the things that I really observed and noticed in particular about this group. And a lot of it is because there were a lot of things that we did. This was a big trip. There were a lot of things going on. So this wasn't really a trip where you would want to come and then stay in the room the whole time. Although, if you wanted to do that, I would certainly not criticize you for that as a leader because it is your retreat. I always tell my people that it's your retreat, it's your experience. So we didn't have as many group sessions as I would have liked just because of the way, you know, when we made the pivots and we made the adjustments to the schedule, you know, I wanted people to be able to see the places that were on the agenda. And I wanted people to walk away feeling like they had an experience. Now, chances are people get home and they, you know, think about things a little bit more. Part of my follow-up process is I always send an evaluation form. It's usually a Google link. And then I reach out, hopefully to personally connect with each person. And I'm in the process of doing that right now. And I'll be very curious and interested to hear, you know, what people say after they've had, a couple of weeks to kind of re-enter their life and think about that. I think as a retreat leader, you always want to get feedback from people, the good and the bad, because there's always things that we can learn and we can do different. So with that said, I would like to share with you in closing what my takeaways were as the leader and what I learned about myself, because I think that's a super important part of the process. Number one is, and I've already pretty much already mentioned this, I stand firm by this with every retreat that I do. Let people be where they are. Let people have their own experience. Don't make them wrong. You don't have to go along with what they're saying and what they're doing, but let them have their own experience. Let them create what they want for themselves. And I really tried very hard on this trip to do that. Normally, I will try to connect with everyone on an individual level and say, is everything okay? Is there anything I can do to help and support? And I did that a little bit at the beginning, but when I realized when I was watching how people were taking in this experience, I really wanted to give them as much time and space as I could. I figured there would be time for me to connect with them later, which is what I'm doing this week and next week. So let people be where they are. Super important. Don't make people wrong. Let people have their own experience. Let people take their takeaways away. And don't be hesitant to reach out and ask, you know, but understand that they may not want to share, and that's okay too. So that's point number one. Point number two, allow space for flexibility. And more importantly, allow for things that can go wrong. I shared with you what happened at Pompeii. I bought the wrong tickets and I lost my cool for a few minutes. Not my finest moment, but it happens. And, you know, once I did it, I purchased new tickets and we went about the day and it was over with. I just didn't want to continue to brood on it and continue to talk about it. I think when it's so easy for us to talk about what goes wrong so much in life. We don't want to do that because when we do, we just create more of it. And so in my view, it was over. The experience was over. It wasn't ideal, but we made it work. We had a fantastic tour guide. The weather was great. We had a great tour. We had a great lunch. I didn't want the whole day to be overshadowed by my mistake and the way that I chose to handle it. But allow space for things that can go wrong. You know, understand that timing changes, that you may need to bump things up, move things back. You may need to scrap something altogether, but always allow that. And I pretty much do that on every retreat, but on this retreat, I really had to lean into that a lot more. And I really didn't hesitate after that first day when I made the decision. You know, after Sunday, I pretty much did not hesitate. Anytime I felt like I needed to make a change, I did it. I didn't question it. And I would encourage you as a retreat leader to do the same thing. And then my last point is, and this is a big one, is always understand that what happens is a lesson for you. It's not just what your people learn. It's what you learn. It's what you learn about yourself. It's what you learn about your leadership style. It's what you learn about how you want to do things in the future. Look, we are, as retreat leaders, we're sort of put on a pedestal, especially when we're experienced and we've been doing it a long time. People think that we just don't make mistakes, that we've got it all figured out, that nothing ever goes wrong, and that we must do everything perfect. And I cannot tell you that is so far from the truth. You know, every retreat to me is a learning experience. There's always things that I can learn to do better. There's always things that, you know, I can even get better doing. You know, I know what my skill set is. I know what I'm very good at doing, and I don't hesitate to lean into that. That's really becomes my anchor. But I also am not hesitant to say, after the fact, I don't do this during the retreat, but after the fact, I really should have done that different. That's why I shared with you about the ticket experience and about, you know, the fact that there were a couple people that weren't happy about some of the decisions that we made. But at the time, I made the best decision that I felt like I could. And, you know, we never want to ignore how we feel about something, but I think we've always got a choice in how we handle it. So at the same time, we're human, and I think it's important that we show people that we're human. So, but understand that what happens to you and what happens in your retreat is always a lesson for you. So for me, what the big lesson here is that this is my first big international experience. I can't wait to do the next one next year, which, stay tuned, we're going to be revealing our retreat calendar very soon for 2026. And it does include an international destination next fall. I will say that. And now that I have this under my belt, I feel a lot better about the next one. See, here's the other thing. Then this is what I'll leave you with. Sometimes it's not about where we are now. Okay. It's not about the experience where we are. It's not about what we learn, what goes well, what doesn't go well. It's always about what we do next. It's always about the next experience, right? And for me, this experience was a mirror of what I need to learn and get better at for how I can do the next one. And that's what I'm taking away from this the most. That is that, and how am I implementing La Dolce Vita in my own life? I can tell you that I'm sitting with things still. I'm still downloading things from this retreat, if I'm being honest. And I look forward to sharing more about this with you in the future. So that's what I got for you today, folks. Just a little bit of behind the scenes of the takeaways from our Italian experience, La Dolce Vita in Memento. This was an Allison K experience that we did on the Amalfi Coast in Italy. It was an absolutely fabulous experience. I really can't wait to go back, but I'll probably go back just as a tourist so that I can kind of do my own thing. But it was wonderful to be able to do this, you know, through the lens of an adult and remember my 20-year-old self in 1988 as a college student experiencing this for the first time. And I think these are moments that I think we want to remember and that we want to talk about because it's all part of how we learn and how we become better. So that's what I got for you this week, folks, on the podcast, Creating the World's Best Client Experiences. I hope this was really helpful for you. I really like, you know, sharing with you what goes on behind the scenes so that you really have a bird's eye view. If you would like to know more about how you can join us on a retreat, you can find the link to our 2026 waitlist in the show notes. Please make sure you put yourself on the waitlist so that you can get the details first. And of course, we're going to be revealing what that European destination is for 2026. I can't wait. So that's what I got for you today, folks. We will see you next time. Bye.